right place, right time, had this serendipitous experience. At that time, EY had just started a partnership with Simon Sinek, who I refer to as the why guy, the golden circle, why, how, what. And the core belief behind that is that as an organization, as a maybe from a marketing and brand standpoint, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do what you do. And then that translates into what you actually build and create, products and services, what you offer to the world. And so it was an amazing opportunity because Simon is brilliant. He is an incredible orator, articulator. He is a master of the English language. And Simon understood that he didn't have the business background per se, the business experience to actually help these really wonderful, high-powered leaders that he was working with to bring their purpose to life. So Simon could help them articulate what it is that they believe in, they stand for, the value they're bringing to the world. And my team would come in and say, well, how do we actually make this real?
Ikigai Conversations showcases a purpose-driven leader from the Ikigai Knowledge Institute, also known as IKI, a collaborative network that supports the cultivation and sustainability of each member's Ikigai while galvanizing collective efforts to support and drive positive impact. IKI Conversation spotlights the leadership path to purpose and includes Q&A from members of the IKI network. Today's guest is Tim Bristow, the president of operations at ProHabits, a company that positions itself as the world's first employee campaign platform. We'll learn more about that from Tim here in a minute. Tim's three core values are compassion, growth, and confidence. And his personal why is to build a bridge between can and do so that we admire the person we see in the mirror. Tim, welcome to IKI Conversations. And can you please share some context on your three core values and why they resonate with you?
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Happy to. So yeah, my three core values: compassion, growth, and confidence. Starting with compassion, it's a hard world out there. I grew up with an attitude that was push, drive, like achieve and continue to grow, continue to try to make yourself and those around you better, and do so in a way that I think often actually didn't include compassion. And as I have sort of gone along my own personal, professional, spiritual, emotional, all of the types of journeys, you know, that one does as they grow and evolve in the world, I noticed that something was really sort of like lacking in both how I sort of perceived growth and development, but really how the structures that we have set up in our professional Western capitalistic world today. There's some stuff that's missing. And to me, at the core of this, and this is why it's one of my core values, because I think I've been on probably a 10-year journey where I have fully rotated to be compassion-led and compassion first, or at least to try to as much as I can. It's to know that you don't know what's going on in other people's lives, and to know that you have a choice every day with every interaction to either show up with kind of a four-letter word in the business world, with love for others and for their conditions and for their experiences, or not to, right? And to show up with an agnostic perspective. And I'm not trying to shame or to push down those that don't necessarily agree with this or don't believe in this or don't lead with compassion. But I think that it creates such a fertile ground and space of safety for people to actually grow and achieve and develop in ways that life without compassion doesn't allow for. It sets the seed for really a much stronger foundation on which you can build a better life professionally, personally, and as a community. So that's number one. Number two, you probably heard me use the word growth a lot in that, is growth. I think the second we stop changing, as is a cliche and probably doesn't sound super compassionate, but if you don't change, you die, right? And if you don't grow and you don't adapt, you can start to become irrelevant to yourself. And the version of myself that I fear the most is one that is stuck in his ways of looking at the world and existing and in thinking. Growth comes in spurts and it stops and it moves again. But I think having a growth mindset, again, to throw sort of a buzzword out there, is one of the most important things that we can have, right? And when I say a growth mindset, I mean always being open to the views of others, even if you disagree, even if you hate and abhor and are like so against them to listen, and to listen with, whether it's compassion, empathy, but to try to understand their perspective, because they're a person too. And there might be some things that you actually haven't thought about, whether it's with those ideas that you were polarly opposite against, or just a new or different way of thinking about things. At the most basic level, it's another data point that can help you further refine and shape who you are and how you show up, and how you show up in the world. And then the last is confidence. And that probably ties into sort of my first statement, that it's life's hard, right? And it's hard in different ways at different times. And I think it's one of the hardest things to have, but you need to have confidence in yourself. You need to have confidence that you can do the right thing when it's hard, that you can put in the work when the work needs to be put in, that you can give yourself the permission and space to rest when that opportunity comes, and to really trust yourself in whatever decisions and paths you're taking in life. Because at least in the Western side of the world, once you get, you turn 16, 17, 18, you're sort of out of the traditional schooling system, that path becomes less and less defined. And it's up to you to both decide your path, to understand that you can at any time look to make changes, to adapt, to go on different paths, different journeys, different ways forward. And I think that juxtaposition, comparison is the partner of misery. And so having the confidence in yourself, in the decisions that you've made, in the decisions that you will make, to set yourself up for whatever it is that you want, is really a key ingredient in living a happy life, because happy is relative. So those are my three: compassion, growth, and confidence.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for sharing. So compassion, growth, and confidence, and you can see the common thread throughout all three. I'm super compelled about the four-letter word in business being love, and how that ties to compassion, and then also how that ties to confidence. I mean, obviously it connects to growth as well, but how do you lead with confidence, taking compassion and the four-letter word of love into the cold-hearted world of capitalism, that's KPI-driven, metric-driven. So can you talk a little bit about that, and maybe provide some view into your journey to get to this spot that's kind of shaped that position?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll start with the journey to contextualize. So coming out of university, out of school, I went to Big Four Consulting. I worked at EY. I started in our operational integrity and improvement space, really risk advisory, right? Are people doing the right things? Are they abiding by their policies? And are they doing so in a way that, you can check and make sure that everyone is doing the right thing? Found myself taking my licks as a new professional, if you will, understanding what's expected, what this whole concept of detail orientation means, and failing a lot and learning from those failures, and not failing enough to have built up enough of a reputation, at least in the place where I was working at EY, where I was able to sort of triangulate my career then into another direction. And here I found something that I was super interested in, is people. Right. And like really help people show up at work. It was such a shift for me to go into this very white collar, high polished, high performance culture. And so I joined UI's change management practice. Change management, I think, is a fairly ubiquitous term, but really at its core, how do we help people change what they do at work so that they can be successful in whatever new world they're entering, right? As those organizations look to transform, grow, acquire, divest, whatever big thing happens. And that was cool. It was amazing. I really got to understand what like a high, fast-paced sort of implementation traditional consulting culture world expectations looks like. And also found myself continuing to gravitate more and more towards this concept of not just changing what people do at work, but really changing how they work and how they relate to it, right? We spend most of our waking hours, at least in what would be considered the prime of our lives, working or connected to our work. And it's something that is, it doesn't bring a lot of people joy, or it doesn't bring as many people joy as I wish it did. And I think that there's an opportunity for people to really evolve, grow, adapt the way that they relate to their work, so that it can, right? If it doesn't bring them joy, at least it won't bring them pain. And it can be something that is a very palpable and manageable sort of give-take relationship. And it was I was right place, right time. Had this serendipitous experience at that time. EY had just started a partnership with Simon Sinek, who I refer to as the why guy, the golden circle, why, how, what. And the core belief behind that is that as an organization, as a maybe from a marketing and brand standpoint, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do what you do. And then that translates into what you actually build and create, products and services, what you offer to the world. And so it was an amazing opportunity because Simon is brilliant. He is an incredible orator, articulator. He is a master of the English language. And Simon understood that he didn't have the business background per se, the business experience to actually help these really wonderful, high-powered leaders that he was working with to bring their purpose to life. So Simon could help them articulate what it is that they believe in, they stand for, the value they're bringing to the world. And my team would come in and say, well, how do we actually make this real? Right. So we look at their strategic portfolio of initiatives. We would look at their culture, their brand, shareholder relations, and say, how do we bring this purpose to life? And also, how do we identify those things that we're doing or saying that are antagonistic to what we believe in? And how do we mitigate those? Right. How do we actually shut those down? And at that point, found myself a little bit, what's the right term? I'd been in the big world structure for too long and was ready to sort of step outside of that and try something a little more entrepreneurial. Was super fortunate. These two women that I'd worked with on this purpose-led strategy team that partnered with Simon that started their own organization, BizLove, four-letter word, right in the title there, where we did very similar work, right? Helping organizations really work through transformations, understand what it means for them, and then, of course, be able to maybe this would be like a three and a half, fourth core value, to communicate what it is that they do to others. Because again, anything and everything that we do as individuals is wonderful. And if it just lives in our ecosystem or those that are part of the same small team working on these projects, these programs, it's got a very small scope in limited space. And that's why you see that it's those that can communicate. When I say communication, I really mean connect well with others that are able to create real, impactful, long-lasting influence. So we had a heavy focus there. And then I had a realization. This was more of a personal one. It's probably not super really, I said, I'm selling my time and I'm tired of being paid per hour for the work that I'm doing, right? And I'm tired of the projects we sell to be per hour oriented. So how can I build and help to build something that is actually going to create value when I'm sleeping, right? And when I'm not working on it and when others are using it. And so that's where I joined this organization, ProHabits. As you mentioned, we run employee campaigns, and really what we do, and this again, maybe this is sort of a common thread through the evolution of my career, is we focus on the employee, and we focus on, in our case, we run employee campaigns. We try to help organizations give employees and the employee experience the same care and discipline and tools that those same organizations use to cater to their customers and create connection with those customers. We believe that the other side of the equation, what's actually driving the business outcomes and values that those organizations care about and are moving towards, are their people. So let's take the same tools, the same disciplines, the same attitude, and try to not just help them achieve their goals. That's certainly a part of it, the organizational goals, achieve their objectives, but let's actually help to make the experience they have resonate with them as an individual or as a group of individuals, and treat them in a way and connect with them in a way that meets them where they are and brings them along the journey. And so I think as I sort of, that's the long story of my career and how I got here. I think the two sort of elements that continue to distill themselves is that we're human beings, and I'm a big believer that our purpose as humans is to support, to connect and grow with other humans, right? To really be a part of this community, whether it's the small town you live in, the group of people that you engage with, or the global community that we're all members of. People and treating people well. And in the space where people spend so much time, and I maybe came in too strong with the capitalistic thing. I'm very, pro capitalism. And I think that people should still be supported in the space and in the what do you call it? The structures that we exist in. Right. And so I think there's an opportunity to be better at communicating and connecting with people, employees in this case, and to help them in this space where I think unfortunately there's so much stress that's brought into folks. You hear about burnout, you hear about sort of this dissatisfaction. Of course, we had the great resignation or reassignment or whatever it is. It's a symptom of a larger issue, which is that people don't feel fulfilled at work, and they don't feel taken care of, and that relationship has become, it's no longer anything close to transformational. It's transactional, right? And I'll attempt to stay off the soapbox on that, but I think there's a lot that we as a world and we as individuals can do better to support those around us.
Love it. Love it. So many great insights there. So many great insights. So very rarely do you come across an opportunity to connect with the why guy, with Simon Sinek. Very few people have that opportunity. And I'm curious about what your lens on purpose, on life in general look like. Maybe pre-SS and BSS, pre-Simon Sinek and or before and after B. Well, that's the wrong acronym. Just what it looked like before and after Simon, and maybe just punctuating this last point about transformational versus transactional, and to bring it to also provide a bit of clarity also. Your second core value is growth, right? Growth. And so clearly there's opportunity within this capitalistic structure for that to evolve and continue to expand. And I don't think anyone is looking for that to be dismantled anytime soon, but it doesn't mean that that can't improve, right? And so I think this transactional versus transformational is kind of at the heart of that. So if you can provide a bit of context on just what purpose looked like for Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe Simon Sinek is not the right inflection point, but I'd love just to hear your perspective on that. And then before and after and transformational and transactional.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Simon is the right inflection point, or at least the right inflection period. It's probably not Simon himself, but more the work that we did with his team and ourselves with clients to help them bring their purposes to life, right? And so at the individual level, I think purpose is so important to understand what it is that you believe in. And I think that it's so hard to distill and put on one page. And it's an art and a science to be able to express yourself in a way that, and this is, I think, is actually where so much of Simon's brilliance comes to play, is to express these things that we feel innately, either as individuals or as a community, and put them into words that are then transactable, right? We can talk about why and purpose, but this concept of treating each other's right and the core values that I think, you know, pervade humanity around, like, supporting others and supporting individuals. Yet if you don't talk about them, you can't actually do anything with or about them, at least outside of your very small and limited sphere of influence. So what purpose really, the inflection point for me was this concept of purpose as an individual engine versus purpose as a connective tissue that can bring large groups of people, communities, along on a journey, right? And we talk about this concept of creating a movement, right? How do you actually help to motivate and engage and connect with folks so that they buy into a core concept, right? A core concept could be the future of your business and organization. It could be, this is what we stand for as a family, as a group of friends, as a political affiliation, whatever it is that you identify with. And how do you bring them through, right? And so purpose becomes this, it's not so much the engine. It's not why I wake up every day. It's not, this is why I do what I do, but more so it's what I believe in. And it's what we believe in. And the ability, the beauty and purpose, I think, is as much as it is internal, it's how it gives us the ability to communicate that with others and to create resonance at an emotional level by using words, right? We're kind of taking what's in our heart and our stomachs, bringing it up through our mouths, through the head, and then they receive it that way and it comes back down because it creates an emotional connection. And that is, it ties right into this concept of transactional versus transformational. That's what that is, right? A transactional relationship is, I do this, you do that. It's logical. It makes sense. There's like no further expectation. We really coexist for the purpose of A to B, B back to A, whatever that looks like. When you get to a transformational space, that's where real change happens. That's where the compass moves. And that to me is what purpose really like helps to allow individuals and organizations to do, is to create these more transformational connections and really movements within large swaths and large groups of people. Because whatever you're doing, and so much of the ways that large organizations, at least so much of the way they're structured, people don't actually get to see the impact of their work. They don't get to see how doing taking care of that IT ticket, how making that extra sales call, how like following up with that patient who they haven't heard from in a while actually creates what it is that organization is there to do. And what they, by choosing to be a part of that and ideally buying into their purpose and believing in it, the value that they bring to the world, and I mean value that can of course connect to money, but I mean value in the context of impact, like how they're actually creating change, creating movement, and making an impact on the world, their community, whatever it is that their purpose aligns to. So yeah, I think maybe to take all that into a statement, that purpose for me has grown from an individual engine to a connective tissue that can move communities and connect people to create community at its core.
That's powerful. So the individual engine connects to the connective tissue that then supports some type of positive impact on the world.
Yeah, and I
Big,
mean,
small,
unfortunately,
something.
and maybe I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Sam. Like, it's not always positive, right? It can be perceived as positive from you, but it can actually lead to damaging activity as well, right? But it's that connective tissue that leads groups to be able to make change, and a group of humans trying to do something is just about the most powerful thing on the planet, I think.
Yeah. So maybe a peek more into to Tim. Has this been innate within your journey? Like, if you think back to when you were in those stages, the 16, 17, 18-year-old, when when you had the ability to start to take more agency and control in your life, has this been always a part of you, or are there stops along the way that influenced this perspective?
That's a question that makes me think. I can answer the first part. It certainly was not with me all the way. I think, growing up, I was taught to go get what's mine, don't be mean to other people, but like take care of yourself. And I mean that in like it was taught to me in a loving and caring way, right? But it was go get it from the world, go do your best and go take it. And I think there are probably, I would say, two core elements for me that have been transformational. One is just continuing to grow my relationship with my best friend Colby. I grew up with him. We were brought up with, I think, probably like quite different parenting styles, and with that, and are just different people innately, right? And so what Colby has helped me do throughout my life, my journey, is he really like showed me what compassion looks like in a day-to-day, right? In a space where it shows up unintentionally because it's so intentionally built into how you think and look at and connect to the world. And so for me, it wasn't like an overnight thing. It's been 2+ decades at this point of sort of the osmosis sponging of, well, yeah, it's great if you want to do this, you want to go 100% at this, but if you don't connect other people to do that same thing, then it's actually not going to happen, right? It's not like you great, you can be there by yourself, or you can be there and you can have worked as hard as you wanted, and you can then be upset that other people didn't go on that journey with you, right? And so being able to like break down to that safe human space to connect to people. And again, all we talk about purpose, and I think it very much ties into Maslow's hierarchy. Like, it is towards the top of the pyramid. And if you don't take care of the foundational connection with people and help to make them feel safe physically, emotionally, and whatnot, then you're never going to get to that point where you can create that full connection and move the group along with you, or be moved by the group, right? And that's the kind of the beauty of it too, is there's no single leader in that space, right? It's what can be communicated. So yeah, I think it's relationships have certainly brought me along. Then the other side is, and this is, maybe a PR campaign. I live in New York, and I am just like so consistently in awe of the diversity of the energy of the diversity of thought and jobs and occupations and perspectives on life and on the world that have growing up in a smaller, college slash fishing town in Rhode Island, living here has been such an awakening for me in terms of just like hearing and seeing and understanding how these different groups and communities engage and interact with each other. And somewhere in that was a crystallization of this concept of purpose not being this ultimate single thing that's for me or for just the group I'm with, but like it's this amoeba, whatever the plural for that is, multiple amoebae sort of like engaging with each other and rubbing off of each other and growing as this like community of communities. And that to me is where sort of this connection has become such a stronger piece for myself and how I relate to my purpose in the context of the rest of the world and the communities I live and exist in.
So if you're thinking about somebody who is at a stage in life where they're grappling with a lot of this stuff, they're hearing what you're saying, it resonates, but they can't just quite find that right step to initiate action. What kind of guidance would you provide to somebody that's finds connection with what you're saying, but really doesn't know how or where to start?
I think the first thing is to ask for help. And this like not to continue to beat the same drum, but maybe too intentionally is that like we're as humans, we are a communal animal, right? We as beings, we are intended to connect with others. We cannot do it all alone. And the more that we try to, I think there's an argument to be made, the more miserable we are. Right. And that's not to say that those that feel lonely or don't feel connected in the moment, that life is not in a good space, but that the more that you can find and create and look for areas and ways to connect with others, you can, whether it's as an accountability buddy, whether it's to explore different ideas, concepts, whatever it might be, it's through that connection. Both of you will grow, or all three of you, or all four of you, or however many people you're sort of like conversing with and connecting with. So no journey. It's what's the saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's very much it's a lifelong journey. And so it's one that I think, at least from my perspective, is really dependent on creating connection with others. With which and on which you can take this journey forward, right? And that journey forward could be bringing your purpose to life, to like learning more about what it means to be you and to be you into the in the context of the world and how you can create an impact, how you can add value. Then the other side of that, and this kind of gets to some of like the call it neuroscience, but it's not going to happen overnight, and that consistency beats intensity, time and time again. If you want to be different, to act different, to think different, to show up different, it starts with thinking, and it starts with thinking about it every day. Take a journal, put it on a post-it note, and put it on your mirror somewhere. Set a reminder on your phone. Be intentional about this. Do it. Time and time again, it might take 2 weeks, it might take 3 months, but eventually you're not going to need that post-it on your mirror. You're not going to need that reminder because that thing that you were thinking about or you wanted to think about or you wanted to bring to life that day, it becomes what you actually do naturally, right? An example we talk about at work sometimes is we all want to be empathetic, compassionate, good leaders. And a lot of us don't show up that way. And there's a reason for that. It's because life is hard, it's stressful, things happen, people make mistakes, you make mistakes, your team makes mistakes. And if you can time and time again do the small thing, hey, before I get on a call, I just want to ask, how's everyone doing? Let's go around the horn really quick. Hey, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but feel free to reach out to me after the call if there's anything you need help with, right? Those things that, again, we've seen leaders do, and it's inspirational, it's nice, and it's the small blocks on which strong teams are built. If you keep practicing those things with intentionality, eventually you won't need the intentionality. That's going to be your default way of doing things. So real change. We have lived our every person's life is the longest life they've lived, right? And so it is the biggest cruise ship in the water. And to turn a cruise ship, you can't do it, it's not a 90 degree turn. It's 1 degree at a time. So pick one thing, make it very small. Think of a really small way to change that in the direction you want. Be tenacious in bringing that to life time and time and time again. And eventually you won't have to be tenacious. You don't have to think about it. That'll be that change. And then pick the next thing and pick the next thing and pick the next thing and do so as a group.
It's inspiring, very inspiring. So, ask for help. I love the line, you can go fast alone or you can go far with others. That is
I
so,
wish I could take credit for that one, but not like
that's a
that.
good one, man. That's a really good one. It's the longest life they've ever lived. I mean, that's especially important for empathy and compassion, right? Like when we think about that's the longest life they've ever lived in this notion of a cruise ship, just turning that cruise ship, doing small things. A lot of wisdom captured there, Tim. So now what I'd like to do, so for listeners, this is the Q&A portion from the EQ membership network. So I'd like to just open it up to anybody. If you have questions for Tim, I'll just remind the group to share your name.
Hi, Eliza Rye Carrington here. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate so much of hearing about your values, how they tie into what you're doing. And the one that stands out to me is this confidence one. And maybe that's the idea of imposter syndrome and that just like confidence is situational for a lot of folks. And you talked a lot about how this is at the beginning, but trusting yourself. And so one of the questions I had for you is like, I know everything's not always bright skies, roses. So when was there a time kind of in your journey where you felt a setback or something that where you really had to dig in to try to trust yourself through something that made you question? I mean, and I don't know if this is fair, but a time where maybe your confidence was rocked, but you like stuck to like, I gotta believe in myself. I've gotta follow this and intuitiveness or whatever through and just kind of a like a hurdle that ended up getting you further in the end.
Oh, it's a good question. And I agree. And maybe I'll say from the beginning that confidence, I think, is there's certainly part of it that's innate and you have to grow and cultivate in yourself. And there's a big part of it that is very much fake it till you make it. That is like I need to tell myself every day that I can do this, because if I don't tell myself that, then I will start to wither under the imposter syndrome, the doubts, the disbelief in my ability to do it, or the world to accept whatever it is that I'm trying to contribute and trying to do. So for myself, yeah, I mean, this is very timely for me in that I was at UI. I was in this change management practice, very like doing some cool and interesting work, and also had real ambition to join this Simon Sinek purpose-led strategy team, right? And it was like a niche subset. It was in a different service line. It was like very much an uphill climb and battle to go from where I was to get to that space. And I think every single person that I spoke to said, no, you can't do this. I was in a promotion year. I was in a on a longstanding client that, we had good relationships with. I had a good relationship with our client themselves. They didn't want to let me go. The team didn't want to let me go. And this wasn't a I'm the greatest in the world. Like I was just filling a role and doing the best I could at it, right? And so I don't know if this is confidence or confidence sort of meets that tenacity, that go get it-ness, but I had the confidence in myself, and this was a spoke with friends in my community. I had to sort of journal audit myself and think through. I gave my leader essentially an ultimatum saying that if I'm not supported in making this jump, as this group now is accepting and wants me to join, I don't know how I can work in a place that's not going to support my career ambitions, as I'm doing all I can to support what you're trying to do, whether in this field, in this particular service line, or in another. So yeah, that was had the shakes coming into that meeting, if you will. Took a couple of deep breaths before, and it was also one that I didn't leave with the exact answer, right? I didn't leave with the yes or no, and that was even more nerve-wracking because I didn't think there was much I could do to impact it. But yeah, for me, I think it's I actually saw this like quote today or yesterday, and I'm a sucker for good quotes. It says, "I'm excited for the next chapter, and it's because I know the author." Right. And it's this idea that whatever is coming next, bet on yourself. And there might be a time to fold them. And when it is, know that time. But if you believe it, you can work yourself up to have the confidence to take it on. And that's the first step, right? There's the work and all that that comes after it. But if you truly believe in yourself, at one level of you does, you can work to build that sort of seed, that kernel, into something that's a bit more and a bit more of a force to deal with and to move forward what you want to.
That's great. That quote made me think too. I don't know, in sports and things, I've heard that, like, if not you, then who? You know, if you're like waiting around and this is something you have your eye on, you've got to at some point put yourself up there to go after it too. So
absolutely. Yeah. And maybe just one other thing is, I also read everything Simon had to read, you know, had written at the time, watched all of his, like, there was so much work being done under, behind this. It's not just tell yourself you can do it and do it. It's do the right things, that the foundation you stand on and whatever your confident stance or thing you want to do is real. Yeah. Right. So it feels authentic. It's not just, it's not all the, like, I need to tell myself I can do this. You can actually do it and build that within yourself.
Thank you.
I don't have a question. I just, this conversation is like very serendipitous and timely for me, but that last quote that you just shared, that I'm excited for the next chapter because I know I'm the author, is like that was like this, I'm going to use a cliche, the aha moment, you know, like, yeah, that concept is so true, but then it also ties into your value of like, to have that confidence and to be able to know that you are the right author of that chapter, you know? So just thanks for everything that you've shared and all of your wisdom and being really open and transparent and vulnerable. It's been a really great conversation to be a part of.
Thanks, Tara.
So Aki, I see your hand up. So just this, where this conversation is going, it reminds me of James Clear's work, where he talks about transformation is that at its core is about identity. Like, if you can make changes based on identity rather than on outcomes, the ability to fall through is higher. The probability of success is higher. So Aki, can you hop in?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you, Tim. That's really, really great conversation. Great to hear your journey. I'm just curious what it was like to work with Simon. I know that, you know, a lot of people know about him. I've been a big fan of his. I've never met him in person. Just see his stuff in books and online, but would love to hear kind of your experience, what it was like working with him and what he's like as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think I said it, I said it before, that one of, and there probably are multiple sort of pillars of Simon's brilliance, is his ability to take what we feel and sort of connect with in our insides and bring it towards in a way that we can transact and talk and sort of work through that and engage and communicate on that as people. And so that showed up in so many ways, right? In different conversations, of course, is I am a fanboy here a little bit, right? So I've read the books, I've gone to Simon's talks even before I joined this team. And yeah, I mean, he does a lot, right? No one's perfect, but he really does his best to walk the talk, to bring it to life. And with that, with his ability to communicate brilliantly and his intention to live by what he says, he brought and cultivated such a wonderful team around him. You know, from his CEO, Kim, to his chief of staff, Molly, to there were dozens other that were a part of the team. They weren't all mini Simons. They were certainly their own individuals, but you could tell that there was this just fierce connection they had with each other and the work that they did. And so that was one of my biggest takeaways, and I think continues to have contributed to my perspective on purpose and its value is it's not just the individual, but it's really creating a strong tie and connection with others around whatever it is that you believe in and want to do. And I think Simon was really, really skilled at not just bringing that concept to life, but also creating that connection with his team and his people. So yeah, he was wonderful to work with.
Awesome, thank you.
Perfect, so we've got time for one final question. So Ryan, you can jump in, please.
You bet. Hey, Tim, loving the conversation. Thank you for all the great insights. When we first met, I guess it was last month, you were on a trip of vacation and we got to hear like just 30 seconds about it, but I'd love if you could just share more about that trip and how it relates to some of what you've talked about today, if there is interconnectedness. If not, no pressure, but just with in the spirit of becoming a stronger Mo, I would love to hear about it. And then maybe if there is an extra connection.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm happy to. So yeah, I was in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico on the West Coast on a surf trip with a couple of my buddies. So it was actually a nice sort of coming together of worlds for me. It was, I mentioned my best friend for growing up, Colby. And then Frank and Mike, Michael and Kevin, three college friends, who two of which are in the New York City, the other one lives in LA. So it was a chance for that group to sort of come together. And then it was amazing for me to have sort of my best friend from home join and just like very quickly and naturally assimilate into this group. And so it was like a long weekend surf trip. It was actually like, couldn't have found something wrong with it if I tried. Beautiful weather, wonderful waves, good energy, fresh food. It was incredible. I love the ocean. So anything that gets me in the water is makes me happy. And then I think in terms of connection, there might be a couple points. I mentioned sort of growing up and having maybe a little bit less of a compassion first mindset, being very like, go, 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 this. And in the town that I grew up in, the sports world was sort of bifurcated into two spaces. There was traditional ball sports, and there were the surfers, skateboarders, more of like the alternative sport and activity type. And I was certainly growing up like a ball sport type of person, did not surf. And then maybe once or twice I tried, was certainly not, didn't do so successfully. And what I found is I've grown up and gotten older and my knees and ankles and whatnot don't really work the same way they used to. It's still wanting some sort of outlet. Surfing became this thing that I never would have tried because I didn't have the confidence to do it because I didn't do it growing up. And it's for those who have tried successfully or not, it is a humbling thing at all times, but certainly when you first start to try and to learn. And my friend Colby said, "Hey, dude, we're on for the summer. Let's learn how to surf. Like, let's try to do this thing." And would not have done it without him pushing me, having this kind of like accountability buddy, like doing this thing that I wasn't confident in doing that was like really, really hard. And now it's become this incredible, really like strong, big, much bigger than I thought it would be element of my life. I sort of orient some of my social activities, my weekends, my trips around surfing. That's where I can connect with friends from the city, from across the country, from home. It's like a shared activity that we love to do. And it's something that is not competitive with others. Like, you're just there by yourself. And it really sort of moves from this transactional, right? I'll try to bring all the buzzwords I used before, this like me against someone else in a sport, to I'm just here enjoying this, doing the best I can, like for my own happiness and my own sort of like self-satisfaction and yeah. Then the other side is like growing up by the ocean. I love it so much that it is therapy. It is a source of just complacency is not the right word, but it brings me to a space of full, like, I'm good. I get out of the water and I'm a better person when I entered, and surfing or not. And so it's for me has turned into this like really healthy, activity that helps me show up as the person I want to be, and continue to live with that sort of intentionality, whether it's making the space for surfing or more broadly, just to be the best version of myself. So very fortunate that I can do it. And that trip was just one example that really was wonderful.
So Ryan kind of jumped the last question that I was going to ask you, but maybe you can bring it into a little bit more proximity. And that's just, what's something fun that you've done recently? So there's a lot of surfing. I still can't believe that you are in New York City and you get to surf on a frequent basis. My mind just can't wrap around that. What's something that's fun about Tim that really carries through one or a combination of those values that's not surfing?
Okay, yeah, we can talk about surfing enough. You know, I've recently started to learn or relearn the game of chess, and it's been like a really nice point of connection with my partner, my girlfriend Steph. It's something that we can do. We're not looking at the screen. It challenges both of us sort of like mentally, sometimes emotionally, depending on who's winning or losing. Something I didn't really think I would ever be into or like playing. And I multiple times a week will ask for a chess game. Just like, can we play a game? Can we get out there? It's a nice way to disconnect. It's fun. Probably a little nerdy, but I'm liking it.
It's great. Hopefully you're demonstrating compassion when
she's when the one on demonstrating
the,
compassion
on the, win, I'm, on the winning side.
Uphill battle for me there.
Okay, well, this is great. Any just final parting thoughts before we wrap things up?
No, this tank is dry. This is a wonderful conversation, and just really appreciate all of you being here and getting to interact with you all. And I'm looking forward to being on the other side of this camera.